This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get a preview of The Guardian this week. Of course, you can hear that whole program Saturdays at noon Eastern time on AMI Audio. And of course, that features readings from the pages of The Guardian newspaper. Don Dickinson is the producer of that program and is here to preview a couple of the fascinating articles in this episode. Hey, good morning, Don.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. So, Don, let's just start in the world of economics. An analysis of the wealthiest individuals in the UK shows that decades of low taxes on capital gains is creating a new breed of super gainers. Don, what kind of revenue are we talking about that the government is losing out with these low rates on capital gains?
Well, we're not talking pennies here, Dave. The government could raise as much as 16 billion, that's with a B, pounds a year if the low tax rate on profits from shares and property were increased and brought back into line with taxes on salaries. Exclusive analysis of data on the 540,000 wealthiest individuals in the UK, in other words, the top 1%, shows how decades of low taxes on capital gains, a type of income mainly available to the very wealthiest in society, is creating a new breed of super gainers.
So in terms of the way in which an amendment to this tax code would be implemented, how could that potentially spread the tax burden more fairly?
Well, under the current system, Dave, income, which covers earnings such as salaries, right, is taxed at a maximum rate of 45% in the UK. Capital gains, however, the profit made from assets such as shares or if you sell a property, is sold for more, and then of course the difference in that property is taxed, right? But this is taxed at a much, much lower rate. Gains from shares attract a maximum rate of 20%, while the maximum for property is 28%. The Guardian analysis has found that since the late 1990s, the proportion of earnings that are declared as capital gains by this very wealthy top 100% has actually ballooned. Just 3% of the income came from capital gains in 1997, doubling to 5.4% in 2010, and by 2018 tax year, it had reached 13.3%. So a lot more of richer people are funneling the money towards the capital gains.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we experience here in Canada as well in the United States. This is a common measure in the tax code to protect capital. And we cannot forget the other side of it as well is that capital losses are also protected. So if somebody sells a stock for a loss, that alleviates their tax burden as well. So it really speaks to the way in which the tax system is set up to recreate further inequality.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. Among the extremely rich, which is the 50,000 people who make up the 0.1%, the amount declared in capital gains grew by 213% between 2007 and 2017. By contrast, this group's salaries had not grown anywhere near as fast. Their median income grew by 22% between 2007 and 2017. So it's exactly what you say. They're funneling money into other areas.
So, Don, are these proposed reforms or is the legislature taking an even closer look sort of beyond sort of ideation phase on this?
Oh, no. These are things that are actually in the works because what they're saying is, they're bringing in all kinds of things. The Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, was criticized actually by his own members of his own party last month because he was increasing national insurance rates to raise the billions for health and social care while leaving the earnings of the wealthiest largely untouched. And they said, whoa, here we're increasing national insurance rates, which affect basically everybody, mm-hmm. right? Even the poorer of society. And yet we're not touching these capital gains. So I think it's something that's going to be acted upon fairly shortly.
This is one of my favorite things to talk about at dinner parties. And that's why no one likes hanging out with me at dinner parties. But we desperately need tax reform in Western democracies. Desperately, desperately, desperately. Hey, Dawn, let's jump over to something a little more fun so that we're not going to get me up on my tax reform soapbox. It is Halloween season. And it turns out that
favorite season, Dave.
Hey, okay, so before we get into the story, are you going to come in at some point next week or tomorrow in costume, or is this another year where we're not going to see you in costume?
Oh, well, you know what? I'd love nothing better, Dave. I really would. But I've got two costumes that I'm making for other people at the moment. One of them is giving me a lot of grief, but I'm working steadily at it. So,
well, we look forward to Halloween 2022 when we can once again connect with Dawn and her awesome costumes around the office. So there's some research going on here that suggests that streets in the UK that are named Elm Street are selling for local than the local real estate averages due to a suspicious market. So, Dawn, how much is the 1984 horror film Nightmare on Elm Street impacting the real estate market in the UK?
Well, this actually blew me away. The article says that for many thousands of miles across the pond, the nightmare doesn't end when the credits roll on that movie, because new research reveals that decades after the 1984 film was first released, homes on roads named Elm Street across the UK still sell for up to 40 to 70% less than the local average, yes, due to what experts call a superstitious market. The analysis by the Yorkshire Building Society, the YBS, looked at residential property sales from the last decade, and it found that on average, homes across the UK on Elm Streets, because there's numerous, fetch 42% lower than the average for their postal code area.
I've got to find an Elm Street in Toronto and get on one of these deals. Is anybody else in this bargain hunting world?
I just thought it was amazing that this is actually the case, you know. They also said that with Halloween approaching, a survey conducted by Opinium for YBS showed that most Britons would be willing to snap up a bargain, even if the house was said to be haunted.
Whoa.
Nearly 6 in 10 UK adults said they would be willing to buy a supposedly haunted house if it meant it was cheaper to buy, pointing to either an exceptionally fearless British house hunters or to the housing market squeezing out a significant part of the population, including the young. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you, Dave. This is what I wanted to ask. Now, I know you bought your condo, so this is just theoretical, but if you came across a property that had some terrible thing happen there, would you still think of purchasing it?
It would depend on how terrible a thing happened there and how famously it happened. Like, I wouldn't want to live in one of these houses that was used, like, in a famous horror movie and have a bunch of tourists hanging outside my house all the time. or, you know, like the true crime podcasts, there's all these houses and buildings that are marked all over the GTA and people go on little true crime walking tours. I don't want people gawking at my house, but I would be willing to take a discount to live somewhere where something not so awesome happened.
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on not so awesome, right?
Yeah, there's levels of not so awesome. What about you, Dawn?
Well, I'm of the same opinion. I mean, I'm not generally superstitious, but if it was in some, I mean, they gave 7 examples. It was called 7 sinister addresses in the article, some of which were pretty bad. Some of which had actual horrific things in real life happen. And then, of course, they used that house for the filming. And that would put me off.
Yeah. Like, for example, the house they used to film The Exorcist in. I don't think I want to live there.
No. No. No, no, no. No, no, no.
Yeah. Hard pass. Dawn, thank you for this. And happy Halloween. I know you love it so much. So hope the costumes are great and the candy's even better.
Oh, thanks very much, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.